Hello and welcome to Healthy Bloomington with Dr. Andre. I am Dr. Matt Andre, a family physician here in Bloomington. And on this program, we talk about issues of health and medicine, and we talk about ways to help you get the most out of your healthcare interactions. And with me today is, I'll call a new colleague in healthcare, and this is Mr. Bill Shattle, who is the Senior Director of Strategic Development for Metagenics. And Metagenics is, it's a number of things, but by and large, it's a supplement company. And I've asked Mr. Shattle to come on and be on this program with me because all of our patients tend to take supplements of some sort, even if it's as simple as, you know, a vitamin C or a glucosamine or something that they may think, oh, you know, not much to it. It should be very simple. And you know, that people only take it because they think it helps their health. But the way supplements interact with the rest of their healthcare plan and their strategy for getting healthier is very, very important. A lot of times doctors will find patients will find that they may be uncomfortable even talking to their doctor about what supplements they're on. However, these things can impact greatly sometimes the treatments that we have, and there can be interactions. So it's important to let your physician know about that or your healthcare provider. And I thought it would be really helpful to have Mr. Shattle here to talk about kind of what the role of supplements is, how some of it developed, and what Metagenics is all about. So Bill, thank you for being on here with me.
Absolutely, my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me, Dr. Andrew.
Yeah. Most welcome. And you're in California right now, is that right? No, Seattle.
No, California, Southern California.
Southern California. Okay, I had it wrong. That's all right.
We have a manufacturing facility up in Seattle area, and our home office is here in Southern California. I work out of
the home office. Okay, great. And can you tell me what, again, or tell people what your role is there for Metagenics?
Yeah, thank you for asking. My title is Senior Director of Strategic Development, and what that translates to on a day-to-day basis is actually a two-part process or two-part function. One of them is to provide a voice at our company for the practitioner, for the healthcare practitioner and patient, because I'm out in the field a lot. I do a lot of traveling for the company, and I hear a lot of what doctors are saying about what their patients need and what their patients are saying. So part of my function is to bring that information back to the company so that we hear our marketplace and hear our customers. The other part of it is to make sure that the information and products and services that we generate are right for the marketplace, and then to get that information out to the healthcare practitioner.
Fantastic. And Metagenics, in my mind, is a pretty unique company. It's unusual, I think, or at least it has been in my experience, to see companies who make a lot of supplements who are that committed, who are as committed as you all are, to good scientific research.
Well, thank you. We try really hard to do that. We think of ourselves as a science-based nutritional supplement company, and a colleague of mine in our training department, I think, characterizes it really well. His name is Ryan Perry, and he says that you can be in the pill business, which means that you can basically sell whatever people are willing to buy, but we're not in the pill business. We're in the health business. Our mission is to help people to live happier and healthier lives by achieving their genetic potential, and to do that, you have to have good, solid science behind the products that you manufacture and distribute, in addition to just the standards of quality that we've come to expect as a result of regulatory oversight and just, you know, doing the right thing for the consumer. So I think that one of the things that I hope makes us different as a company is that the adherence to science and the recognition of the importance and value of good clinical work before you introduce a product.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe a really good place to start, Bill, would be to just discuss for a moment what exactly constitutes something as a supplement. You know, if somebody just walks down and, you know, is it something that isn't a drug? Is it defined as something that's sort of distilled down as some nutritional agent from food? But what is it that we actually maybe that the Metagenics itself uses to define the term supplement?
Question. You know, everybody kind of thinks they know what that means, but
yep.
You're right. I think that there's a kind of a hazy definition around that. At the outset, let me qualify, and I think this helps to position things. A supplement means that it is not meant to take the place of a good, healthy diet.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that. It is something to supplement or augment the diet in a way that the individual might not be able to get from the regular healthy diet. What it is not is a drug. It's not meant to treat diseases. The FDA has a very specific standard for it, and it's defined by an act called DSHE, which stands for Dietary Supplement Health Education Act,
mm-hmm.
which explains what a supplement is and how it's regulated. There's a misnomer that some people have that the nutritional supplement industry is not regulated by the FDA. It's true that it's not regulated as a drug, but it is not true that it's not regulated.
It is regulated
very much by the FDA, yes.
Yes. Please go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Well, the other thing that I was going to say is putting this in the context of a diet. Good nutrition, in my mind, means it starts by careful selection of the food that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Put it differently, you can't eat junk food every day and take a supplement and think that you're filling in all the gaps and you're putting everything you need.
Yes.
A good, healthy diet should be, and from my perspective and my company's perspective, it needs to be the foundation upon which you build.
And there would be some debate about how easy it is to get a healthy diet, no matter from what sources anymore, given the changes in our soil and in our in things that are in our air and water and so forth. So all of those things come into question.
Yeah, that's a very important point. I'm not trying to say that supplements aren't valuable or aren't important, obviously, because that's what I do for a living. But what I'm trying to say is that if you put it within the context of a healthy diet, you're going to get a much, much bigger benefit from it. Now,
mm-hmm.
even if you're careful about your diet, as you very, very correctly state, because of the changes in farming practices, because of all the food additives that we have, because of the high sugar content of the food that we eat, because of the fact that most of the food that people consume is either from a restaurant or already processed, that we're not eating the way we did, the way our parents did and grandparents did 50 and 100 years ago. And as a result of that, I think that supplementation becomes even more valuable.
I think that's right. And one could fairly argue that even those who are trying to do well may sometimes be eating a junk food diet and don't really know it or think of it that way.
That's a very good point. I have a colleague who was doing nutritional counseling for a patient, and he told the patient that he needed to stop eating so much hamburgers and french fries. And he said, I want you to start eating more chicken and vegetables. And the patient said, okay, that makes sense. He came back a few weeks later, still feeling the same way. And my colleague said, so have you actually changed your diet? He said, oh, yeah, instead of McDonald's, I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken now.
Maybe miss the point a little bit. That's right. Well, and this is, I think, I'll use the word poignant time to talk about this because, as you know, supplements in general have come under a little bit of fire because of some companies that were putting out products that really, I mean, literally had nothing in them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, you take that very personally when you see people in the industry do that.
Paints the whole industry with a black brush, and I think that that's unfortunate. There are companies that are really trying to have quality products, but there are actually two components to this. One of them is the potential for a product not to meet the claims on the label.
Mm-hmm.
And label claim is what the FDA holds the company to. If you say something is in a product on the label, then by law you have to have that in there, and you also have to ensure that there's no contaminants, there's no adulteration, that there's no, you know, that it does meet label claim and that it doesn't have other things in it that you don't expect or want. And that's carefully regulated by the Food and Drug Administration through a set of standards that they've established called GMPs, which stands for Good Manufacturing Practices.
Mm-hmm.
And by law, every company that manufactures nutritional supplements has to meet those standards. But here's the problem. The FDA is one entity that has a lot of control and power, but they don't have the resources necessary
yes.
to adequately regulate all of the companies as well as could be done. So unless a company is very, very careful, And even if they're a good company, they make mistakes. So it's important to be not just GMP compliant, but you have to have some type of additional controls placed on the manufacturing process so that you know that you're not going to do somehow drift out of GMP compliance. And the way I characterize it is that if you have a GMP certified company, that means you have other entities, other companies that actually come in and audit your manufacturing procedures to make sure that products that you're manufacturing will meet GMPs if the FDA were to inspect you.
Well, that is one of my questions. I mean, how much self-policing should companies do so that they're not relying on kind of an overburdened regulatory system?
That's a really good question. We have three different entities at Metagenics, three different companies that come in and regularly audit us. So if the FDA were to come in tomorrow, we would be compliant. One of them is TGA, which stands for Therapeutic Goods Administration, which is Australia's equivalent of FDA.
Ah.
You have to be TGA compliant in order to export products to Australia, which we do.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly is NSF, stands for National Sanitary Foundation. They have auditing services that they will provide for you. If you're NSF audited, then that's also good. And then lastly, there's an industry auditing agency called NPA, Natural Products Association.
Ah.
So we actually have all three of those different organizations, which are separate independent bodies, coming into our facility on a regular basis to make sure that we are compliant with GMP or actually exceed GMPs, which we consistently do.
And this might be
that might be something that people
consider looking at or asking when they're thinking about from whom to get supplements.
Yeah, because it's easy to say that you're GMP compliant. Every company will say that. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like if you're pulled over by a police officer or highway patrol and they say, "Are you speeding?" What are you going to say?
No.
Well, of course not.
Speeding's illegal.
Right. But if you have a police officer sitting in the back of your car telling you, "Wait a minute, you're going over the speed limit," you're gonna stay under the speed limit. Well,
right.
That's kind of like having auditing agencies and GMP certification, which we do.
Got it. Well, and another thing is, you know, it maybe it differs from your analogy slightly, but you know, one reason some of these companies will speed is because the less careful they have to be about what they put in it, the less money they're spending. And you know, that leads to the thought about, well, you know, do you get what you pay for in supplements or not? And there are times I could have told you that's absolutely true, and there's times I could have said I've seen some expensive products that aren't necessarily better.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's interesting. During the run-up to the implementation of these GMP regulations, there was a period where people could call in for comments or write letters. And a number of companies wrote in and said, "We don't think we should have to do all these things because it's going to be expensive." And so, yeah, you're right. The profit motive and profit margin is a very important consideration for a lot of companies. And some companies are willing to shave corners and cut corners. And we know that because there are people in jail today for doing just that. And they were eventually caught by FDA, which we think is a good thing.
That's
we're
right.
not opposed to regulation. We think it helps to siphon out or to sift out the bad players. And I think that the GMP standards will help to do that as we move forward. But I think there's also important consideration, which I think you touched on, and that is that not everything that's put into a supplement is necessarily going to be good for people or even has been demonstrated to have any effect at all.
Yes.
There's, in other words, you can have a GMP-compliant product that still doesn't do any good because it doesn't have in it things that are going to help people.
Well, and that leads me to my next question, Bill. I mean, if one sorts, you know, kind of sifts through either the website or a Metagenics catalog, there's a copious amount of supplements that you all have. And if one looks or compares that to other supplement products or vitamin companies, they can be widely different. There's some things that everybody seems to do. How does Metagenics decide what things they do in supplement form?
That's a good question. We have a research and development department that consists of about 30 scientists, and that's just here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We also have a similar size department in Australia and at our facility in Belgium. And what they do on a regular basis is comb the scientific literature. They stay very much in tune with what other researchers are doing, and then collaborate with them to develop specific products around therapeutic application. So, for example, one of the products that we've developed over the years is for helping to control or influence the inflammatory cascade.
Yes.
And if you understand how inflammation works physiologically, which is pretty well documented, mm-hmm. then you can see how different nutritional ingredients or herbal substances or phytochemicals will act in some of those same pathways. So by understanding the physiology and understanding the biochemistry associated with a process like inflammation or immune function or digestive processes or whatever else it might be, you can see where different nutritional supplements or substances might fit in and influence those cascades. Mm-hmm. Then what you do is you combine the product or you build the product based on that concept, but then you have to apply it. You have to actually see if it works. Because if something makes sense physiologically or biochemically, that doesn't necessarily mean that it translates into an effective product.
Right.
So you have to actually do the research. You have to bring in patients and conduct clinical trials, publish your data in peer-reviewed journals so that other scientists get a chance to look at it, and duplicate or replicate your work if they can, or criticize it if they choose to. But that process, which is also, by the way, how pharmaceutical agents are developed.
That was my next point. That makes it very, it differs very little from the basic process by which drug companies go about finding their next product that they're interested in.
It does differ a little, but those differences that are there are significant. For example, in the world of nutraceuticals, which is kind of what we're talking about, they're not really pharmaceutical agents, but they're also more highly concentrated and refined than you might find in a normal diet.
Is it fair to say that, in essence, they're not used to treat a disease state, but they are directed towards specific body purposes?
That's exactly right. Now, there are two general categories to talk about. One of them is a nutraceutical or a nutritional supplement, and that is by law not allowed to be marketed to treat a particular disease.
Mm-hmm.
There's another category that's kind of in between there called medical foods, which is allowed to be used to treat a particular disease, but within certain parameters.
Yes.
And that's carefully defined by the FDA. But back to your original point, these are not meant to treat a disease condition, but they do have an effect on dealing with biochemical pathways within the body because you're providing the nutrients that the body would ordinarily use for those pathways, but you might not be getting an adequate amount in your diet.
We could call it bioidentical nutrient replacement.
I like that. That's very good. Can I use that?
Yes, please. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
So with when it comes to, you've gone through a process and you found, clinical evidence that a certain thing that you, one, can make, and two, looks like would be clinically useful, and you've done trials, then is marketing where, I mean, it seems to me that a lot of the regulations for, say, pharmaceutical companies has to do with how they market the that drug, almost more than it does its utility, its manufacture, or anything else.
I think that that's true. I think that both FDA and FTC regulate how things are marketed. FDA looks at the science and makes sure that it fits under FDA's regulations or that it complies with their regulatory positions, which have to do with how a product is developed and what it's used for. FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, also regulates the specific claims that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the FDA may say, this fits our standards, but FTC may say, well, the evidence that you supplied isn't adequate or to make that statement. So FTC FDA and FTC both have overlapping areas. But for instance, if you have a breakfast cereal that has oats in it,
yes,
FTC may say, well, you can't make claims for that treating cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And FDA may say, well, you know, the evidence is there in the scientific community that the ingredients in oats, the fiber in oats, do have an effect on lowering cholesterol. But FTC may say, well, we don't think it's adequate. So, you know, it's a little bit of a fine line to walk to make sure that you're complying with everybody who has oversight.
And, you know, Bill, you and I could talk for the next several hours about people, friends, patients, clients that we know whose literally their health and their lives have been changed by the use of supplements.
Yeah.
And there would be some great utility in that potentially, but most of the people listening to this will have experienced that for themselves or loved ones as well. But I think where that interaction occurs in the medical field is worth talking about for a moment, because as I said at the kind of the opening of the show, I find that patients vary a great deal on their comfort level on dealing with their physician.
Yeah.
Regarding their supplements, and I didn't know if you had any words or thoughts about that.
I do, as a matter of fact. Thanks for asking that. I think that anything to do with your health care needs to be a collaborative effort between you and your physician. But that's not to say that all doctors are as knowledgeable about nutrition as other doctors may be.
Here, here.
Nutrition, up until fairly recently, in fact, still may be an elective in medical school.
We had two hours of it.
Okay. So it's not really a focus. And I think that the amount of new information that's coming out about nutrition and science in general can be so overwhelming that it's next to impossible, if not impossible, for any single clinician to know everything there is to know about the busy profession. There's
yes.
just too much out there.
That's right.
So doctors, like anyone else, tend to focus on those things that are important or specific or germane to their area of expertise and interest. And what that translates to is if, unfortunately, it's not an area of interest to the clinician, to the doctor, there may be the tendency to say, well, since I don't know about it, it must not be real good information.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, when I talked about this, there's this perception that nutrition is poorly regulated, the nutritional supplement industry is not regulated, and there's not good science behind it, and neither of those is really true. So my point here is that if you go to your clinician, your doctor, and say, what do you know about nutrition? And they say, well, you know, as long as you eat a good diet, you don't need to take any supplements. On the surface, that's fundamentally true, but in practical application, it's not true. So
mm-hmm.
most people think they're eating a good diet, but in fact, they're not.
Yes.
And the reason for that is that we're told by advertising companies that McDonald's is fine for you. And I don't mean to pick on McDonald's, but let's use fast foods.
Yes.
But fast foods are perfectly adequate. They give you all the nutrients you need. And furthermore, they're cheap and convenient. Well,
right.
I don't agree. I don't think they give you all the nutrients that you need, and I think that we can support that by just looking at our society.
That's
obesity
right.
is becoming an enormous problem in our society, and if we don't do something about it right away, we're going to be confronted with health care costs in the next 20 years that we can't possibly pay.
And in our practice, I mean, 40% of what we do is weight management, and I would contend that the vast majority of those patients who are significantly overweight are still undernourished.
Yes. There's a problem of overconsumption and undernutrition in our society.
Yes.
Because we're eating foods that have been processed, have most of the value processed, unfortunately processed out of them.
Well, Bill, we're kind of coming close to our time here, and what I'd like to do is, if we could, I'd love to have you back for another program and talk more specifically maybe about some of the exact agents that you all do use for some specific entities, particularly around what I'll call functional medicine or gut-related medicine, and the way that those things impact our health in general, if you'd be willing to do so.
Oh, I'd love to. Sounds good.
Great. Well, how can people get, who are listening to this, if they're interested in Metagenics products for their own self or loved ones, how would they get in touch with the company?
Well, we have a website, metagenics.com, and the company is spelled M-E-T-A-G-E-N-I-C-S, And we have a service on there where we put you in touch with the clinician in your area who is knowledgeable about nutrition and also understands our products. We don't sell directly to the consumer, but we do sell to healthcare practitioners who then make them available to their patients. And we can put you in touch with a doctor in your area if that's something you'd like to know.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Bill. I greatly appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Andrew. Thank you so much for your time.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for joining us on Healthy Bloomington with Dr. Andrew.